In case you missed the first Freedom Fest, be sure to watch this important interview between Harmeet Dhillon and Los Angeles County Congressman Mike Garcia on how to fight back against the radical left's takeover of California and what the Democrats' mismanagement of California means for the rest of the nation.
Everyone, thanks for welcoming us here.
How you doing, Freedom Fighters? Good to see you.
I'm from San Francisco, and I was telling my husband it's great to be in America for a change, and so thank you all for that. I think, so Representative Garcia, how does it feel to be in America? You live in the Los Angeles area.
I'm just so proud to be an American. I'm tickled pink every day. I wake up, take pride in this beautiful nation, unapologetically American. I was a former Navy fighter pilot who served just down the road here at Naval Air Station Lemoore. I was a defense contractor who was bringing high-end technologies to our warfighters on the front lines, and now after last year's special election, which was really special, we can go into the details of that, but now I'm serving in the halls of Congress and representing the beautiful 25th congressional seat just south of us here, about an hour and a half south. So great to be here.
So Mike, you know, I'm an immigrant to this country, and even before I was born, our great Ronald Reagan, who led this state before he became the president, he gave a famous speech saying that it was a time for Americans to choose in 1966.
That's right.
And then when he left us in 1988, he talked about America being the shining city on the hill. And that was, of course, inspired by the beauty of California and all the promise and all the wonderful things. And you look at California today with the rolling blackouts and the water issues and the failed vaccine management, the EDD failures of all the Americans put out of work by Gavin Newsom's policies and China's virus, and no recourse for them. And how do Californians maintain a positive attitude, and how are you, as a representative from California, helping to turn things around here in California?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, I do have a lot of hope. I started this journey to run for office and represent my district in Congress so that, frankly, our nation didn't turn into what California has become. California didn't get where it is overnight, right? This is the result of 15 to 20 years of, frankly, all of us falling asleep at the wheel, all of us not paying attention enough, all of us, frankly, maybe not raising our kids enough, teaching them the values of the Constitution, teaching them to take pride in our history, and frankly, not paying attention to who we're electing up in Sacramento. This is the most underachieving state in the nation. We are the fifth largest GDP as a state in the entire world, yet we are 43rd when it comes to schools K through 12. Only about 25% of our fourth graders are actually proficient in math, proficient in English. We have some of the highest debt. We're effectively insolvent on paper, the worst infrastructure in the nation, the highest taxes, highest gas prices. We can go on and on about why California is struggling as a state, but it's not the weather. It's not the geography or the beautiful mountains just to the east of us. It's not the natural resources that are abundant below us and around us. It's these politicians up in Sacramento who have gotten a free pass now for about 15 to 20 years, who have never run a business, many cases never run a family, never been responsible for anything besides their own political careers, and we've allowed them to get away with it because we haven't been paying attention as good conservatives, as good Americans. And I think what Devin... I think what Devin alluded to is our ability as this 20 to 25%, the 2,000 people in this room, is that you've got to be able to communicate to that middle 40 to 50%. It's not about getting the Republican Party back in office in Sacramento. It's about getting conservatives who understand how to run a state back in office. And that is the people in this room, the folks that we follow. And that will increase voter registration over time. But you have to invest in the people. We need to stop trying to recruit people, and rather than recruiting people, we need to inspire people. I was not recruited. The Republican Party doesn't come knocking on your door and go, "Hey, Mike, would you like to run for Congress? You look great on paper. We'd like to talk to you and see if you'd be a good candidate." I was inspired because in the 2018 elections, I was represented after that election by a gal named Katie Hill. And if you remember her, you probably remember the word thruple. And she had all sorts of issues. I knew she was fake. She had no experience. She didn't know what she was doing. She hadn't worked in the business world, hadn't raised a family. She didn't have the values that I think represented our district, but also represented our nation, frankly. And I decided to take on the mantle to run. I left a great career at Raytheon, and I was inspired to run. And I think that's what the folks in this room need to start thinking about. How do we inspire people to serve their nation rather than recruiting people? Because once you start running for office, it gets a little hard, right? You start seeing the left coming at you. They don't just want to beat you in an election. They want to, in many cases, ruin your lives, like Devin Nunes has seen. He's been attacked. He's a great American. But if you're not doing it out of inspiration, if you're not doing it with intrinsic motivation, you will get weak in those times of toil and turmoil when folks are coming after you. So I'm hopeful because I do think people are getting inspired. I'm seeing a lot of Californians realizing that it's not the state that's the problem. They're realizing it's the people up in Sacramento. We are being led by a single party system that has a tax and spend mentality. And if there was a zombie apocalypse in Sacramento, even the zombies would go hungry because there's no brains up there right now. And that's the problem we have. I'm hopeful as well because this mission that I'm on, which is to fight this fight at the national level and not let the nation become what California already is, we're winning that fight. We clawed back 12 seats in the House of Representatives last cycle. We lost the Senate, but we are now just 19 months away from getting the House back, getting the Senate back, and we're going to be on our way to get the White House back. So at the national level, we are actually doing a great job and we're building momentum and people are waking up around the nation that they don't want to become California with its policies and the unintended consequences that a lot of those policies come with. So that's why I'm optimistic. It's what keeps me fired up on a day-to-day basis. I wake up thinking about great Americans like yourself, and I wake up thinking about those who don't understand the consequences and how do we translate good conservative values, the values that you mentioned under Reagan, the 11 core conservative principles under Reagan, how do we translate that to the middle third? It's not about putting a Republican hat on or Republican jersey on. It's about talking about lower taxes, strong national security, being pro-life, being pro-business, being pro-taxpayers, and creating jobs, creating wealth, and frankly, having faith and enjoying the American spirit, taking pride in being an American and believing in the American individual to do the right things without the federal government having to explain to them what to do, right? So if we can just talk about those values and translate that and to those who aren't as politically active as maybe some of you are, California will be the golden state once again.
Yeah, thank you. So Mike, you know, I've been a volunteer here in California politics for almost two decades, and it's been hard times here under Jerry Brown and certainly under Gavin Newsom. And we hear a lot from everybody here in this room, I'm sure, has friends who've moved to other states. When I go to the member meetings of the Republican National Committee, people mock us and say, you know, who are the Republicans left in California? So you're a success story. You're the first person to take back a seat with a Republican after your name in decades in California. So, and you did it twice in the last year. So, can you talk a little bit about how you did that and how the grassroots of this party and the party structure helped organize and lead you to that victory?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Harbeet mentioned, first Republican to claw back a Democrat congressional seat in California in 22 years. That's what we did in the special election in May last year. Back in 2018, the Democrat won by about 10 points, and in May I won by 9 points just about 15 months later. So that's a testimony, thank you. A effectively a 20-point swing in that short of a period of time. It's about, obviously, the candidates matter. The message matters, right? And we're seeing it at the national level, a shift in mentality, and I think people are realizing that the candidates do matter. And that's why I think having the right candidates run absolutely is critical. And I think there's a lot of great conservatives running now and going into this 2022 cycle. We are going to see successes in this state. But the bottom line is nothing beats hard work, right? I had 18 opponents. Nancy Pelosi spent about $25 million against me in the span of 9 months in 4 different elections last year. And we frankly out-hustled them. We made it rain longer than any opponent could tread water. And if you're willing to out-hustle someone, if you're willing to outwork them, and you stay on message, and you truly are doing things for the right reason, if you're the right person and you're qualified, you'll win, right? And it's not a secret recipe. It's just good American hard work, and we'll get there, and I think we will get more seats back.
So in our final question, Representative Garcia, I'm sure it was very exciting to win the 2 elections and go there and think that you're going to be able to change everything overnight and represent California, and then you get there and reality hits. So
that's right.
What's the biggest threat to our democracy today in Congress, and what are you doing to protect us from it?
I do think it's a mentality right now that is the biggest threat. This mentality of flourishing socialism and promoting it nationwide for political purposes, it's being weaponized against us, is actually the biggest threat right now our nation faces. We've been heads down during the pandemic. We're coming out of that. We've spent trillions. While we've been doing that and a lot of infighting, we've seen these 2 giant bears called China and Russia just outside of our tent continue to get bigger, continue to get more threatening. They're getting hungrier. They're evolving their technology. They're modernizing their militaries. That's a huge threat. In the midst of COVID, we've now accumulated $30 trillion in deficit. At the national level, that means that each one of us as Americans, man, woman, and child, is on the hook for about $90,000 as a fair share of our nation's debt. We have a president now who's asleep at the wheel. We have a lady by the name of Nancy Pelosi running the House on a very far-left socialist agenda. We have Russia building up troops along the Ukrainian border. We have a commander-in-chief who's just committed to an unconditional withdrawal from Afghanistan on 9/11, basically laying out a roadmap for our adversaries and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda to build up and take retribution effectively on 9/12. We have an administration that's wanting to re-enter the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Attack, or the Iran nuclear deal, in the Middle East after we proved under the Trump administration that leaving that Iran nuclear deal was the best thing for the world. We have an administration that doesn't value the partnership with Israel right now. We have an administration that is not paying attention to what's going on in China or Russia, and they are effectively putting us in the most risky part of the political and international security spectrum that they could put us. But all that being said, those are not unsolvable problems. If we have the right leadership, if we have folks with conservative values who understand the importance of national security, who understand the importance of incentivizing businesses to grow by lowering their taxes and keeping industries here in the United States, who understand the threat that this big tech problem poses to us, we can actually solve all those problems, both here domestically and overseas. So right now, the single biggest threat is that we have a large portion of our population and a lot of our quote-unquote leaders pushing this socialist agenda, which has been proven over decades, centuries, and millennia to not work. We know that our federal republic works. We know that our conservative values work. We just need to fight for it. And this is why I come back to the single most important thing that we can do as Americans is to get the House back in November of 2022, get the Senate back, and actually be a formidable check and balance to this White House, which is absolutely asleep at the wheel right now.
Well, so one final practical question here. So when you, I heard you talk about this last night at a reception that we were at. How are the other members of the California delegation in welcoming you to Congress and showing you the ropes? If you could talk about that.
Yeah, and absolutely. By the way, you guys are blessed to be represented by Devin Nunes here in this local area. You truly are. I know he's a local hero, but he's also a national treasure and an asset to our American way of life and our security. When you win in a special election like I did in May last year in the middle of a cycle, there's no, you know, Congress for Dummies or Congress 101 indoctrination course or anyone kind of giving you pamphlets and manuals. You literally show up, you're sworn in, and you start voting. You got to stand up in office. By the way, I was still running in a national campaign for the November general election as well. So what was cool for me as a freshman with zero political background or experience, which I think is actually a good thing, is to have someone like Devin take me under his wing and be a loyal wingman, be a big brother, Kevin McCarthy the same way. There's only 11 of us right now in Congress from California who are Republicans, but I can tell you that we are more coordinated, we are more supportive of each other than the Dems are, and we're going to lose a seat, go down to 52 here for the entire state, but I bet you within two or three cycles we'll be well over 50% representation in the congressional seats at the national level.
Right.
So thank you, Devin, for hosting this. Thank you all for coming out and paying attention. Remember, we've got to be able to talk to that middle third, and we've got to be able to translate our message, get the vote out, and make some of these purple seats red and make some of these blue seats purple over the course of the next 2 to 4 years. Thank you all. God bless
Amen.
America.
Amen. Thank you.
Mike Garcia and Harmeet Dillon.